WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the show out on the road. If you've been listening, you do know this. All of our friends, sponsors, clients, political people, all sorts of athletes, all sorts of people coming out and doing things here. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Win Donation and Jiffy Lube Malt Care. It's coming to Coco's on Wednesday. We're going to be at the BMA at Gertrude's on Thursday. Really looking forward to that crab cake and a chat with John Shields, who apparently has some sort of like Maryland-style Old Bay peanut brittle, which he's going to lay on me as well. Friday, we're going to be back up at Hollywood Casino in Perryville. Tom Kelso, former Maryland Stadium Authority chairman, will be with us. And then this is going to be the fun part. Next week, we really get into the holidays. Like, next week's the week I allow Mariah Carey to be played around here. I start to sing, Do They Know It's Christmas Time and stuff like that. And we're going to begin our true Christmas seasonal fair at State Fair in Catonsville. We'll be there on Tuesday morning doing a special coffee chat with friends and sponsors. You know, Bill Cole, I have the Cole Roofing mug out with the Royal Farms coffee in it. When I get together at State Fair, and it won't be Royal Farms coffee next Tuesday, it'll be that French press that they make there at State Fair for me that gets me all amped up, and I'll have some chicken and waffles and whatnot. But I get over there on a Tuesday morning, you, me, and Dennis, and it reminds me of my early days in radio when Harry Shriver, who was the original, if you think of Oriole Magic and how Oriole Magic happened, Harry Shriver was the guy that did that. He was the guy who ran WFBR, who put Ekman on the air, sometimes inebriated, sometimes not, hired John Miller. That's all Harry Shriver did, all that, the late, great Harry Shriver. And Harry loved afternoon live. He had this thing called conference call that he put on the air, I think it's CAO or CBM 100 years ago. And it would be like you, me, Dennis, and Leonard. And man, wouldn't that be a group, right? You have me. I can't think of four more different human beings, right? Like, Dennis is Greek, old country, runs a car dealership, grew up in the East Side, went Sedonia, played football at EVT. Leonard grew up out of Liberty Road and Reisterstown Road and manages money. And then there's you running around on roofs, three generations since 1919, same as my dad. And then there's me. And the four of us would get together and talk about ish. I don't even know what it's going to be. But I'm figuring that that's at 55, that's where Baltimore Positive's leaning now. It's you, me, and Dennis getting coffee and shrimp and grits over at State Fair and saying, are the Ravens a fluke? Are the Ravens a fluke, Bill Cole?
I mean, I really hope that, and no disrespect to Dennis what's the other guy?
Leonard.
Sorry. Yeah. Raskin. Right. Like, you better pull better guests than that, or Baltimore Positive is going to go down.
Dennis getting together. I don't even know if you and Dennis have ever been in a room together. You're on the radio together all the time. That's part of the plague, right? Like, yes. I birthed Baltimore Positive during the plague. And I remember, and I told my wife this because, like, we're doing this thing next week with Dan Rodericks, and Dan's going to be on the show Thursday over at the BMA, and we're going to feature the BMA folks, and Odette Ramos, Councilwoman Ramos, is coming over. It's her district. She eats a vegan crab cake, and John apparently makes a pretty good one over there at Gertrude's. So, I get around, and I'm doing all this stuff with sponsors and getting people out. I'll say this, man, sports and where I am and changing from NST to Baltimore Positive and thinking, like, on a Monday morning after the Ravens win in LA, whether you'd rather listen to me and Luke talk intelligently or hear phone calls over at, corporately owned FM radio and whatnot. Yeah. You underestimate the power of three business owners from three sides of Baltimore to get together to bang pots and pans about whether Lamar Jackson's elite or not. Right.
So I don't actually underestimate it, but I believe that it's appropriate for us to have a element of humbleness and just recognize that, that would be a very different discussion that, and maybe I think to the point of this, like, maybe people enjoy that, right? Like,
conflict. Luke and I don't fight enough for them.
I don't know all the stats and I don't have the insider info. I'm just a dumb roofer watching the football game on Sunday night and saying, I can't believe the Chargers didn't beat us. Like, they seemingly moved the ball at will, And for once in my life, I felt like maybe the referees have been told that the Ravens are good for the NFL, so we get the benefit of the doubt. But then I
Dude,
can't
Geno Smith had
understand.
2 feet out of bounds when he pushed the quarterback.
Right. And it's not the first game where I felt like that. So that's why I'm thinking that, it's like the NBA referee guy who got in trouble for gambling at the same time. What was his
Well,
name?
there's no question that the New England Patriots got off scot-free for all the cheating they did, and that cheating and lying is a Harbaugh family trait at this point. The Matt Weiss thing and his brother out in Michigan. I mean, doing highly illicit stuff, right? And Michigan's going
So
to go play for the
much,
national championship.
right?
So, like, it doesn't the cheating pays off. You know what I mean? The
Well,
lying pays off, and like, I don't. I think
yeah,
there's a
I don't
point.
agree with that. I don't agree with that.
I mean, I think in the NFL, to your point, that Bob Kraft and the Patriots were given special treatment by the commissioner. There's no question about that.
I think that refereeing has so much subjectivity to it that when a capitalistic league tells the referees what is best for the league, that influences how a person will see a play. You can call
Well, if you
holding on
tell your
every
police
play.
department how to
We know that.
police, right? Like, you and I can take
Sure,
this to another level.
sure,
How
sure,
you police is how you tell your
sure,
police department to police, right?
sure, sure. So I felt like maybe we're in the good graces, right? Like maybe the Ravens winning Lamar, all that is good for football. So, we get the benefit of the doubt sometimes.
Lamar being
But
healthy is good for football, right? But so is Joe Burrow being healthy. And that's why you don't shove the quarterback out of bounds. Justin Herbert being healthy is good for the NFL. It was way better that he was playing than whoever the hell their backup quarterback was on Saturday, on Sunday night, right?
I
Like,
think he's a
we're at the
player,
point in the
man.
year
I
where they
think he's
play
a
football
player.
all day Thursday, all day Friday. So all night Sunday, all afternoon Monday. Like, Christmas, they're playing every minute of the Christmas holiday. They're playing all day Christmas Day. They're playing 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, because they don't want the NBA getting in on Christmas Day, because the NBA's gotten in on Christmas Day because they refused to play at one point, right? So they got games in three cities on Christmas Day. They have a game on Christmas Eve night. Like Christmas Eve night, like, my family's having dinner like 55 years now. It's been going on. So to think that the league and throwing media members at, by the way, the Charlotte Observer, I'll give you a little, the guy Tepper, richest guy in America, right? Tepper owns the Panthers, fired the head coach, who is Frank Reich, architect of the greatest comeback in NFL
Sure.
history. He's won Super Bowls, Philly Special, like, all Frank Reich, a man of God. I mean, Frank Reich would never do anything wrong, right? Like, Frank Reich's a straight, he a terp too. I forgot, he a terp, right? Gets fired.
Frank
And
Reich has a good reputation.
the columnist from the Charlotte Observer, the Mike Preston, sat in the front row raising his hand to ask a question, and they were and the Chad Steele of the Panthers refused to call on him at a press conference. This happened 36 hours ago. We're going to the point where, to your point, the officials, there's no accountability. They have a commissioner who has $1 billion in the bank. The man who runs the league has become a billionaire as the CEO of the company, right? They've gone legal with gambling that they, and I always say this to John Martin, I mean, God knows, I respect my gambling money. I'm going to be at Hollywood Casino. I give away lottery tickets. I'll be giving them away all week. The lottery isn't rigged. The lottery isn't John Martin decides red or black or fair or unfair or foul or no foul or flag or no flag. Like, they are policing who's winning bets. Like, at some point, that's going to wind up in D.C. under the little white thing that Trump tried to take over 3 years ago. Like, at some point, it's not going to go. The part that you jump in on is when there's a bad call from an official, whatever the bad call is. The league's rigged now. And that's your independence. That's your not being a Democrat or Republican. It's sort of questioning everything. But I see it along Twitter, X, whatever the hell their threads, whatever they're calling it this week. whenever these calls are made, everybody thinks the league's rigged, and people think the league's rigged because Bubba Smith said it was 50 years ago, right?
Yeah, I rigged is an extremely...
I never say that, by the way. I just I don't...
Rigged is hard.
You will never see the piece on me saying the referees are crooked. I think...
Influenced is all I'm saying. Okay. If you don't believe... I mean, look...
Well, they're undercompensated based on the fact that they're making calls that literally billions of dollars are going to flush left or right on whether that's a 15-yard penalty and the Chargers go in and lead 7-0 or not, right?
Like, we've talked a number of times about... like my coaching my daughters and I coached my son, and like the way I coach is we have to play the game in a way that eliminates refereeing from influencing the outcome. Like we have to have such a lead, we have to be in such control because they're humans and by nature they're going to make a mistake, and we don't want that one mistake to be the difference in the game. So we're going to win in spite of, right?
But that's when the league said we're going to get replay, right? I mean, at some point, if they were really serious about first downs, that the ball would be chipped, right? Like literally, 10 yards would be 10 yards and it would be chipped. If they were really measuring this thing and we were playing checkers or chess or dominoes where there's an absolute answer, right? Even a roll of the dice where there's an absolute answer, as opposed to, well, this official spotted it here and that official spotted it there. And you know, in that 30 seconds, like seriously, in that 8 seconds where the female line judge comes down with the ponytail, the referee comes over, the back judge, they all look at each other. You know, at that moment, they're just guessing. You know, at that moment, they have a difference of opinion based on where they were. And now the video is supposed to be the – and Bill, we're going to see this. Now that we're betting on baseball and we're betting on every pitch, I mean, I have never heard or seen a bunch of old white people yell for computers more than they do around the strike zone for baseball, because it's on every pitch on video, and Ben McDonald and Jim Palmer are reacting to it. And the thing that always weirds me out is the box is always the same. I'm 5'9" and Aaron Judge is 6'10" and we have the same strike zone. Like all of this sports stuff has always been judgmental, very nebulous, very open. I'm going to call Nasty Nestor on Monday and say the referees are rigged because Bubba Smith told me they were, and I bet on the Ravens the other night and they didn't cover. So I've been hearing that forever, but if they if they wanted this to be measured, it would be properly measured. It really would be. It'd be better than nine referees who fly in from their roofing job and run around and try to figure out where the ball landed.
It's not rigged. It's just influence, right? Like you got to watch the documentary about.
I think it's more incompetent than
Tim
it is Donaghy
or whatever. I think those guys are really good. Actually, I think the referees are really good. Like you have to understand, like you're attempting to keep track of, you know, 4 240 guys and they weigh 280 pounds. And I mean, look.
I've been on the field a million times. I mean, I'll never be on the field again. Thanks to Chad Steele. Appreciate that, Chad, who was on the field sitting in the middle of the shot in the post game, which cracks me up. But he didn't want his face on TV. But I've been down on the field. The referees, it's kind of like the scene in Animal House where the guy has the marbles. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and all is well. And I mean, they're getting pushed. I saw the other day official got his jaw, and I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often in the scrums, but they're getting yelled at the whole game. Harbaugh's yelling at him. Tomlin's yelling. Everybody's yelling at him, and they're trying to officiate the game. I mean, it's not – Marty Conway's an official. I have him on all the time, and my friend Ken, who comes out to a lot of our crap kit officials, it's really difficult, and that's my point. My point is if the league wanted to get it right, they would go beyond human. They would go beyond – video that's poor. I mean, what's really poor is when the video shows something and they call it the other way. That's when you sit at home with your wife and say, well, it's not rigged, it's influenced.
Right. You can't totally take subjectivity out of it because there's holding on every play. But we only call holding if it influences the play, right? So, like, that's weird. Sure, we can measure stuff better. I agree. But we all recognize, and it's talked about all the time. They pick certain things, and we're gonna really focus on, oh, we're not gonna allow that. And in the NBA documentary thing about the guy who was gambling, they talked about one season, the little hook move that Jordan would do on the baseline where he literally hooked him with his other arm. They wanted to start calling that. So he goes into a game and he starts calling it, and he calls it on Jordan. And they go to timeout, and the other officials come to him and they're like, what are you, stupid? Yeah, we're supposed to call it, but we're not supposed to call it on him. So if we know that they are telling officials to focus on one rule and one interpretation.
Well,
of the
we've
rule,
heard preferred strike zones for pitchers.
Yes,
forever.
That is, I mean, we know that that is part of the game. So you have to accept it. The point is, you got to play so that
I don't
that,
accept that as part of the game. I think that's
How
where the
can
commissioner
not?
can't run the game that way. And they can't, if they're running the game to make things easier for Lamar, then they're making, because they love Lamar and Lamar's good for television, then they're running a sham league.
No, they've been doing that forever. Think about all the changes they make on, like, receivers on the, you know, can push them out and can't push them out. Pass interference, the horse
collar.
They
don't
tackle.
Get simple,
like,
stuff right. Belichick had monkeys and trees filming. Harbaugh's brother had the other Harbaugh's assistant, Matt Weiss. I got emails from Matt. Like, literally, openly, brazenly attempting to cheat. And I've always found that to be interesting about Harbaugh, is like his whole thing is his whole background is in paranoia. Everything's paranoia, paranoia. The people that are the most paranoid are the people that cheat. I mean, Belichick had made a career out of this. Taking air out of the footballs is a real thing. Like, that's not a joke. We turned it into Deflategate, all of that. It made them not fumble the football. Like, if you go back and you look at the statistics of the New England Patriots, more than any team in the history of teams, they never fumbled the football at home, ever. And they ran the ball in the cold all the time and never fumbled it because there was no air in the football. And I remember that from playing on the fields at Colgate Elementary when I was 9 years old. When the ball was squishier, you couldn't punch it out. This isn't rocket science. So they didn't pay any price for that, like, at all. And so they're cheating at the highest level, cheating each other. I mean,
so,
come on, man. We're in a conversation here.
Yeah.
They don't even have the integrity to, like, say what is and isn't a real media member. Like, I just told you in Charlotte, the owner won't take questions after firing his third coach in 4 years.
We've talked about that a little
bit. They have
an
accountability issue. And but the refereeing sits in the middle of the squishiness of where it affects the outcomes of games, and it affects your bet. And
you need to know.
That's why it gets talked about.
You need to know going in that they are 100% working every day to control their product. They are trying to control their product and make as much money as possible.
Well, how about this? How about this, dude? Joe Burrow last week with the thing on his arm, right? It would have affected the line, right?
Of course
so
it would.
Cincinnati hit it in the same way that Chad Steele throwing me out allows one less person in there to know anything or to ask anything or to find anything out. And the Cincinnati Bengals pulled one over. The league then goes out to Mike Florio and in the postgame show, oh, we're going to be looking at this because, you know what? This affects your money, your bets. Bet. This affects your bets. It affects the competitive balance of the game. You know, Harbaugh would do that in a heartbeat. They all would. And that's
right.
part
and
of the problem
difference.
Is that you're trying to get honor amongst thieves. Like,
yes.
Literally.
Yes.
That's it needs to be harder policed.
Don't have an expectation that the minute you mix sports, which drives the uber competitive to work so hard that they've got to the pinnacle of their sport,
they would stick needles in their arms,
that they
would
do
home
anything,
runs.
They
right,
will do
exactly
anything to win, and then add on top of that billions of dollars. Like, you can't underestimate that the combination of those two are going to create outcomes that you and I see as
we
less
couldn't
than
believe
having
that somebody
integrity.
would cheat to win a bike race, right? Like, imagine how much you would cheat to win an NFL game.
Anything, right? And so,
or to beat Ohio State in the
but
case
there
of Jim
is
Harbaugh.
A difference. Hold on, Ness. There is a difference, right? There is a difference between pushing the media out, okay, and then going to your state and local governments and asking for $1 billion, $600 million, wherever that number lands, okay? Because when you don't give me, as a taxpayer, transparency and access, then you are not entitled to my tax dollars. That's a difference. If you want to be a completely private enterprise, you can behave any way you want, and then it's up to us to decide whether we want to buy your product, right? But the minute you start taking tax dollars, there's a different standard of care, in my opinion, right? You have to.
That should be everybody's opinion, Bill. And you've just said it very eloquently, like to the point where I'm going to transcribe that and pull it out and use that as a quote for all times, right? Like, literally, I don't know that you could repeat what you just said because it was so beautiful, but yeah, like, true. Yeah, you're taking our money, you're held to a higher standard.
And my core problem is that not everybody that paid into that pool gives, you know, two-ish about football, right? Like, there's a lot of people who don't. And there's a lot of people who don't go to those games. And there's a lot of people that don't watch them on TV. And they can literally care less. But for the civic good, you know, this decision is made. I appreciate that.
I have argued on behalf of that for 37 of my 39 years here. And I'm still not even arguing against it with Tom Kelso this week at the Hollywood Casino up in Perryville. We are educating people as to what the deal is. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that it's already happened. You're already given them $1.2 billion. And they're like, Oliver Twist, they said, please say more. That's not enough. And that's where this is with Angelos. I mean, Bisciotti's half embarrassed about all of this because he doesn't want any questions. He doesn't want any oversight. He doesn't want questions from me. He doesn't want to deal with me down in Florida asking him about this money and what he's going to do with it. Or Chad Steele or Sashi Brown, whoever the hell he is, that their whole thing here, and this is the real story, is they don't have to fight. They've got Fredo out in front with a lawyer from Venable running the Maryland Stadium Authority, Craig Thompson, Wes Moore, who's gone code silence so far with me, and at some point we're going to have answers. They bled some stuff to Jeff Barker the other day that's sort of the bell toward Angelo saying, well, we just might have to go our separate ways and do, you know, set by quasi partnership. Well, where's your idea? I'm going to keep coming back to this. And when I sit with Governor Westmore, who I like, who I voted for, who I vehemently disagree with, I believe so far, but I haven't been given the chance to disagree with him because I haven't talked to him. I would say to them, what's the plan? What's the mixed use, work, live, play? Show me the architect. Show me the plan. We have that now. You and I got together a couple weeks ago down at Fadley's, and we talked at length. Jeffrey Ratnow joined us talking about the land development, a harbor place. There's blueprints. There's studies. There's money spent. There's all of the things that you as a roofer wouldn't say, what kind of roof are we going to have on that? We don't even have a concept on this, Bill, and we're talking about giving them more money than the $1.2 billion we've already given them, giving them land that they have already misappropriated and can't use and have never found a use for other than a parking lot, and to throw people like me off when I handed Clobber's Cleveland signs and spanked the Yankee signs out back in 1996 and 97 when I had the civic pride to support them, because it said, well, it didn't say Baltimore in the jersey then, but I was trying to get it to say Baltimore in the jersey. It does now. But I've been at this a long time, and clearly, I've been thrown out by both of them, but that doesn't stop anybody from listening to me, and it certainly doesn't stop the facts from flowing in. And to your point, where these franchises are going, the stadiums are built. Now it's what gravy, what cherry on top, what whipped cream, what are we going to put around these stadia? Because as Tom Kelso said, stadiums have been here 3 decades. They are what they are. They generate what they generate. People come, people go, they park. Team's good, they'll come. Team's bad, they won't go. We know all of that. But that land down there has been there for 30 years. What's going to make you and your family come down there at times when there's not a game? And the Orioles this week, by the way, Bill, I don't know if you saw this. They released a schedule for the lease that they don't have. They're playing games in a stadium they don't have a lease for. They haven't agreed the terms. $600 million wasn't enough for them. And free rent, basically, free rent for 100 years. That's not enough. They're playing 6:35 now every night, right? Which I would say for you and me at home watching the game, it's great. Game starts a little earlier. Fits dinner in. It's over at 9 o'clock. It's great. How does that help downtown? 6:35 games. There's no dinner. You're not helping any of the restaurants downtown. You're barely getting people there. And I'm just saying, it's good for baseball. It's good for TV. But 6:35, you're moving your games to then. How does that help my city if I'm the mayor, if I'm the governor, if I'm living where I was living? Like, how is that going to help the city? How does that make it better for business there? It makes it better for one business, the Angelos family. That's what makes it better for.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I didn't realize that.
You got
was
me going today, dude. You pissed me
off.
Yeah,
over. I didn't know that was on the thing. But, you know, so understand that the $1.2 billion, like Tom Kelso said, you know, that was legislated. You know, that was like Maryland legislators got together and they passed a bill. So
that nobody voted on. Nobody said a word. There was zero conversation about it at any point on this show, anywhere else. Hey, we got to invest in the teams. And I will agree with that. We got to make that area better. I think we're all in agreement on that, right? Are you in agreement with that?
I don't know. I don't have enough information to know. Like I'm in the camp of, I know that for a period of time, America thought that investing in pro sports teams in your urban sphere was good for, you know, the city. I don't know if I agree with that. If I had $1.2 billion to do whatever I wanted with to lift up the city, I'm not sure putting more bathrooms in the stadium would be the thing that I would do. Like, there's other stuff you can do with $1.2 billion that's going to have more impact on more people that live in this city. So I don't know. But my point about the legislation.
And by the way, they're not paupers. They make plenty of money.
Yeah.
They make plenty of money. They could appropriate money differently in their sport to pay Adley Rutschman $12 million a year instead of $32 million a year and get their own toilets to flush and build their own casino on their own land, on their own stuff, and make their own parking money and all of that. Except that's not the way it's worked. And John Angelos knows this. His old man knew this. Major League Baseball knows this. It's get away with what you can get away with. Since the last time you and I got together at Fadley's with Matt Campbell and Jeff Ratnow 3 weeks ago, they have unanimously voted to move the Oakland Athletics to Las Vegas after 50 years of being there, right?
Right.
Unanimously.
I just think that, yes, I mean, what you're speaking to is this, the appearance of kingmakers, right? So you take wealthy people and you give them stuff that make them kings when you maybe that's not necessary. I don't have any of the data to know whether the economic impact of, you know, $600 million to both those complexes can have more good.
Depends what you do with it, right? Like literally, right?
Right, totally. But my point of bringing up the legislation is, legislation giveth, legislation taketh away. So, like, there are processes where some of that stuff could change. And I think there's a very interesting, you know, sentiment going on between our elected officials as to where they all sit on that. And, you know,
well, this is going to go back to Annapolis either way. And that's the thing I'm going to get with Tom. It's sort of like, okay, 1.2, if that's not good enough for you, John, then we're going to have to go back to everybody. And the jerk from Dundalk, who's had the radio station for 25 years, is going to get mouthy. And he's going to bring other people on who are going to be mouthy about how much more we're going to give you than we've already given you and how we're going to go back to the legislature and find more money from you, from Brooke Learman and from Derek Davis and from Wes Moore and from Salisbury politicians who might be Republican, might be Democrat, or Cumberland politicians, or Montgomery County and PG County who are going to vote on this too. And the question still comes back to, what's the idea? What are we giving you the money for, other than we get to keep your lousy baseball team here? I mean, like, what are we getting? What's going to be the end result of this? And John Angelos doesn't know his head from his ass. Like, anybody that's talked to him knows this. They have no plans, no blueprint. Nobody's been hired. He's a visionary without a vision. You know, he's never run a popsicle stand. They have not done anything in free agency. They poor mouth. They're still in the business of trying to intimidate the media. Me and Luke 6 weeks ago in Arlington, Texas, their own employees 12 weeks ago, free Kevin Brown. I mean, and they've won all these games, and they're not selling tickets, and they don't have a lease, and nobody's talking about them. They're all talking about the 9-3 football team, Bill. Honestly, everywhere I go in town, they're talking about the football team. Nobody's talking about the baseball team, and they should
because and I don't think this is intentional, although, you know, the skeptic in me wants to say that it is intentional. Like, if the piece that you did with Tom Kelso a couple weeks ago, like, anybody who wants to understand this or know more, like, they need to go listen to that. Because
we're doing a recap.
I know.
So, you know, like, we started at the beginning for this one.
You got to go back and listen, because he lays a lot of the groundwork, and there's a lot of stuff that you start to understand better by what, you know, the two of you talked about. And I'm telling you right now, for the average fan, like, 2 minutes into this topic, I'm glazed over. It's so sophisticated and so, like, complex that I'm just like, wait, what time's the game start again?
Well, this is what John Angelos hopes.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that it's all so dubious that in the beginning they wanted to make it so complicated that nobody would pay attention. That's probably like an unintended consequence that benefits the players.
And it did on the Masson deal too, big time. Just so you know, like, over the 20 years of Masson, how much money they've made and siphoned away from the Nationals, and all the juice they got added into this, that the stadium was empty. They were getting their ass kicked on the field, but they were making tons of family money while looking poor. Right. Just so you know.
But just keep in mind that our elected officials don't have to have, you know, a resume that includes understanding or have participated in or have defended against large-scale civic development. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's interesting. Like, Wes Moore, like when I get with Wes, he'll be smiling. But what did Wes Moore, what the hell did Wes Moore know about the Orioles and the Ravens a year and a half ago when he's running for office about this stadium deal? I've known everything about it because it's been my business to know everything about it for 25 years. It's like when Angelos flippantly said to Dan Connolly on Martin Luther King Day last year, like, talking down to Dan, and Dan's like, this is what I do for a living. What rock do you think? I do this professionally, pal. You know, don't speak to me like that. And that's why John Angelos wouldn't get in a room with me, because I know too much for me to sit with him. And a lot of people don't. And to your point, why would Wes Moore know anything about a parity clause in a Maryland – like, running Robin Hood and doing what he was doing, why would he know anything about this? And like, all of the esoterics of this, it feels to me like Wes puts an Oriole jersey on and goes out there and runs around. And I've just never seen a governor want to do that in the middle of a negotiation. And I've had a lot of people say to me, it makes them itchy. And I don't know why it doesn't make Wes itchy. And I don't know why he thinks running around with John Angelos is going to, like, win the public sentiment. I mean, John Angelos can't find anybody to sit in that box with him. As Dennis points out, he can't even get his family to sit in the box.
I would sit in the box with him.
Would you?
Sure. I mean, think about all the things I want to ask him. Like, he might not answer me, and I might be out of there in 5 minutes.
Well, that's why you wouldn't be in the box, because you have questions.
Except that, like,
he's not even a citizen of the state, and we're giving him all this money. It's crazy.
But I would respect the fact that he is, well, I don't even know the actual truth, but like
in charge.
He is working as the person in charge of this. Like, I would respect that, and I would want to understand.
Look, if John Angelos wants to come on here, I'm not going to insult him or talk about his dad. Like, I'll talk about the deal. I can talk all day about the deal.
The goal is to have a thriving Oriole team in a thriving building and facility that increases the number of people who can come to the city and have a wonderful experience. That's the goal. It is a tourist attraction. Like, people need to come there and spend money in the surrounding community, in the building, back and forth, the parking, all the whole deal. It goes into the city coffers, and then, okay, then we can go down there and talk to them about how they need to spend it to help pick up the city. But that's the point of it. So, John, there has to be a way for you to make a crap ton of money and do this. Like, other people are doing it in other
cities. Hardest part, though, Bill, I mean, really the hardest part here is his cowardice, right, and his inability to be front-facing on this. When Larry Lucchino was looking for this money and Edward Bennett Williams was looking for this money 35 years ago, they were out in front of things. They were answering John Stedman's questions, tough questions. Tough questions.
Yeah, but that isn't how the world works now, Ness.
Well, but then
you come out in public and 100 people are destroying you. One person is supporting you.
That's fine. That's fine.
Communication that exists.
Well, the guy at the Inner Harbor's figured that out, right? Like, I've been inviting him on. Everybody's killing him. I'm not here to kill him. I'm here to, like, love the project up and understand it better. And at some point, you have to be front-facing and sit on shows like this and answer questions. It's simple. That's all.
I hear you, except if we sat down with our PR firm and our PR firm said, hey, look, let's figure this out. We need these four people to help us get this deal done.
Well, if Chad Steele's the guy sitting in there as the PR guy, then you have what you have. You know, you have an expert from out of town.
Yeah, I think I was thinking not the team's – like John, I don't think he's going to the team's
– Look, Visit Baltimore just hired an agency, the fifth one in a row from out of town. You know? So it's sort of like putting people together and the relationships that you want, the Greater Baltimore Committee wants, the Downtown Partnership, and all of these groups, and you fly off, and it's business owners. We want to go back to the days when all the banks were here, and McCormick was downtown, and Black & Decker, and like all of that. At some point, the guys who own the teams have to be front-facing. And Sashi Brown can't make his first move getting rid of a 30-year reporter's press credentials and hiding, except when he shows up for pictures that look real wistful and taken by the Baltimore Ravens staff out on the field. Like, at some point, you have to do what Dick Cass did for 20 years, which is come out and answer questions and meet the PSL owners and be front-facing and talk about future plans and talk about your goals and your dreams. Talk about your challenges. Answer your critics. All of that stuff.
I hear you. But you literally, unless you have more information that I don't know, you like sort of affirmed my position. Visit Baltimore hires an out-of-state firm, and that is perceived in your default position as negative. You don't know whether they were the best firm for the job. You don't like, but you view that as
dude, their whole concept is to do stuff locally, and the first chance they get, they don't.
I hear you.
I'll go the other way with that, Bill. There has to be somebody here who could do it really well, and there has to be somebody here who could do it better than somebody can do it from out of town. I promise you that. I put the Fan on today. They're run by Odyssey. Put any of these out of town. Okay. Dude, you're Call Freaking Roofing. You're local since 1919. There's no way National Roofing is going to do the job in Baltimore better than you're going to do it. Like, it's just not. And I'm not anti-guys from out of town. I like out-of-town guys. I have all sorts of friends that came from out of town and made this their hometown. But there has to be a point where if you're pitching local, then be local. Live here.
All I'm telling
you is, want $1 billion from the state? Claim residency in Maryland. How about that?
Those national firms that I compete against, they do business here. And for one reason or another, their business model and their buyer, their customer, is aligned better than me, right? My only goal is they at least know what my offer is.
Well, you can't say shop local on Saturday and Cyber Monday and local business Saturday and local, and then when given the chance, hire the guy from out of town. Like I don't
know. But the point I'm trying to make, Ness, is we don't give anyone the ability to defend their position because we have a mouthpiece, right, that people immediately can go to, make their own judgment, and then spew negativity. So as a person who you want to be out in front of stuff, if you don't give Al, I'm sure Al's still running Visit Baltimore, right? If you don't give Al time, and it might take an hour and a half to explain why they hired the firm they hired. Maybe it's crap. Maybe it's bad. Maybe it's good. It doesn't matter. Our world does not afford people the 90 minutes that it would take to understand that decision. So our default position is, well, that doesn't fit the model. And it doesn't. I hear you. It doesn't fit the message.
It's bad messaging.
So isn't there, don't you believe there has to be a reason? Like, that's my only question to the universe. If it doesn't fit the message, don't you think that there has to be a reason? Or is this person, do we just believe that everyone is idiots and they're out to screw us all?
I don't know.
Right. Because I don't know either.
That would depress me.
It is. But that's our default position because we go to the negative all the time. And because of social media, we have this huge megaphone. Like, I don't envy those people's positions at all, right? I don't envy John's position to try and get this figured out because there is no winning for him. There's no winning. Either he gets lots of money.
But there could be accountability.
Everybody hates him. You know I'm for that.
Accountability's free. If you don't have that, then what do you have? You have nothing. I would say to Chad Steele and Sashi Brown and Steve Bisciotti and John Angelos is that I'm here talking about it for tens of thousands of people. I promise you, I've seen my numbers. They've gone up. John Eisenberg and I did a piece last week, and people are clicking on it because people are interested in it. You know why they're interested? It's their money. They know how incompetent the Angelos family has been. They see that the football team, God bless them and all, it doesn't bring anything to the city. I mean, they go down, they play for 3 hours, 8 times a year, and that does not, that unto itself does not populate the city. Sunday afternoon games, even the Monday night games are worse because nobody gets there. I mean, there is no impact to the city on those game nights. The baseball thing, you can make a great case that I remember what 3.5 million people look like down there. And I'm old enough to remember that. And I'm old enough to remember what a vibrant, I paid for it. In my tax dollars as a resident, I lived downtown for 19 years. I speak of real experience and seeing it become tumbleweed and seeing it go away and now see them make decisions like 6:30 baseball is good for the Orioles. Well, it's good for the Orioles. It's not good for Phillips. It's not good. It's not good for Roose Chris. It's not good for Morton's. It's not good for any of that stuff down there. But I don't know that it ever was, or I don't know that it was ever designed to be, and certainly now it's designed to do nothing except funnel people into the Angelos Emporium. That's the baseball model. The baseball model is going to be, we're going to build a bigger, better Dempsey's and put kick our MVP's name off the wall so we can put gambling in there. And we're going to do all of this stuff to benefit the Orioles, not to benefit the city. So when he starts talking about benefiting the city, that's when I'm going to call bullshit on that. And that's why he doesn't want to sit with me, because they've never made a decision ever in 30 years. Peter G. Angelos never made any decision that ever had anything to do with helping anybody but Peter G. Angelos. And that's a track record. I'll die on that hill. And I've watched it. And the battery in Atlanta, it benefits all of them. I've been in downtown San Diego. I've been in these places where they've tried to your point, have this civic dream that baseball will anchor an area and allow nightlife, dinner, other business, commerce, foot traffic, less crime, all the more bodies, all of that you want to see. But it, and Bill, we're going overtime on this. You and I are going to get together Tuesday at State Fair. Bill Cole's here, Cole Roofing, Gordian Energy, my dear friend that I like to fight with sometimes. Leonard Raskin's going to be here, and Dennis is coming over to State Fair on Tuesday too. So it might get a little spicier in the holidays. I would just say this, and you can give me your soliloquy on it. What's the idea? You know, that's I'm going to keep going back to money. Money's not going to generate the idea. I mean, the buildings are there, the warehouse is there, the land's there, the harbor's there. All that's there. What's the idea? And it's not Top Golf, by the way. They found that out.
Yeah, I don't have any issue with that question. If you want more money, you have to tell me why. So, and as far as I'm concerned, like, I'm unaware of any tax dollars that get spent without oversight. So, like, for them to take that position is kind of like
a non-starter. It should be a non-starter for the governor of Maryland. It should be a non-starter for the governor of Maryland, whatever his name is, whatever his Democrat, Republican, black, white, women, female, Martian, the public position for the governor of Maryland should be that right there. What's the idea? How does it benefit the citizens? And where's the oversight? And do we keep our, do the people have their thumb on this? Do we have oversight for what we're giving you this free money for to benefit our community? And that's a question you can love the Orioles. I've loved the Orioles despite the fact they don't love me. I've loved the Ravens before they existed. I loved them into existence back in the air in the day. So, I'll be here when Chad Steele's gone and John Harbaugh's gone and Eric DaCosta's gone and Steve Bisciotti's gone. I'm going to live long enough to do that. So I'll be here when all of this is over with. I'm worried about what they're doing, what kind of heist they're trying to pull. And I'm on it. And people should be appreciative that somebody's on it.
I see it as a significantly missed opportunity, right? Like, if you look at what Dave Bramble is trying to do, right, and the importance of that project, and he is efforting to really get everyone to embrace this concept. Now, look, hey, we got to make some decisions. Some people are going to like them. Some people aren't. Here's why we made them. Here's what benefits it brings. You know, they've been listening, but the idea is that we need, in our case, maybe it's a handful, but sometimes it can just be one. You know, you need one big thing for the community to rally around and for it to be the thing that gets people to change the narrative. Like,
nobody is going to rally around the Angelos family here.
I get it.
I mean, I'm just being honest with you. And I will stand on the front of that. I'll hold the Free the Birds flag from 18 years ago. There is not going to be a point where Wes Moore stands and says, meet John Angelos. He's the visionary. Stop with that, dude. I mean, come on now. I mean, come on.
I got you. No, no, no. I got you. What I'm saying is you have to change, you know, the number one narrative problem we have is still the story that's being told by other people about Baltimore.
Correct.
People that come here, they love it. Everything's cool. We have a wonderful town and it thrives. So, but one of these big projects can change that narrative, right? It can change the way people talk about the city. So if you're trying to do a $1.2 billion stadium deal, right? Like, figure out a way to get everybody to rally around it. Figure out a way for it to change the narrative. Talk about the things that it's going to improve. And it isn't better televisions or faster elevators, right? Like, that isn't it. Those are the opportunities that they have. You know, right now, again, to your point, it's about Angelos, it's about capitalism, it's about big development, it's about professional sports. They're missing the opportunity that if they just could figure out a way to tell this story,
to make it about Baltimore, they might
get twice as much gosh darn money, right? Because who isn't going to get behind that?
I hear you, man. Bill Cole's here. Tell me what you do, getting up on roofs. What's the roofing business? Cold to be on roofs this morning. Damn, your guys are party out there, man. You do
it
things the
is
right
cold.
way.
It's cold, but you know, we're powering through. Everything's really good. People are still having to fix their roofs. Sorry, but that's kind of good for me. You know, again, it remains this thing where, like, look, if you just do some proactive maintenance, it will extend the life of your roof and you will save money in the long run. So we
get
are,
a guy out on your roof to look, because you haven't been up on your roof lately.
Yeah,
and you call Bill, and Bill sends a guy, he's done it for me, and he gets up on the roof and says, yeah, you know, this next 5 years, this is going to be happy. You might want to put a little money in the piggy bank, you know, for 2026, 27. And by then, maybe we could do solar for you. Maybe we can. But at least there's, to your point, we have an adult conversation. We have a strategy. There's a plan. There's a plan. Give me a plan, right?
Yeah, I have not met a customer, and I've been doing this a pretty long time. I haven't met a customer yet who was actually thrilled about buying a new roof.
Right.
Like, it's not a new car. It's not something that you enjoy. Like, it's a necessary evil. We appreciate that. I would like you to prolong that purchase as much as possible. And there's literally things we can do that.
You know what? I think it decks death taxes, right? You know, the things.
Yeah.
Roofs, right? You have to have a roof. Like, you know, a roof over your head, right? Like, literally.
So I can appreciate sometimes in, like, residential circumstances, like if you bought a metal roof, you know, like some people, that would really be a fun experience for them. It would change the aesthetics of the house and they might really like it. And it just has a little more to it. In commercial roofing, you don't see it. You know, it literally is just an umbrella for your building. And, you know, our concept of how much it costs is not very, very good. So there's always a little sticker shock
how
initially.
Much?
And right. So I've been through all those conversations.
It's freaking tar. How much can it cost?
I totally get it. I totally get it.
And then I see like 12 of your guys up on the roof and it's 12 degrees out and they're hauling stuff up and the steam's coming off of that. And I was like, yeah, tough work you guys do. But be proactive. Get Bill Cole a ring. Find him at Cole Roofing. Find him out at the front of Baltimore Positive. If you are in the business space and you see, if you have a roof, everybody has a roof. So if your building has a roof, Bill can be there. I'm sorry we fought so much here this week about this, but it's a lot of money. And I don't think enough people are talking about it, Bill.
I don't define what we just did as fought. So it's cool. I thought we had a very passionate discussion. And
I want to get David Bramble on the show. So anybody knows David Bramble, tell him to come on here because I really want to understand what they're doing. And I don't want to ask other people about it. I want to ask him. So, you know, I am not a negative. I'm Baltimore positive, right? Like, if this is good for the city, show me how it's good for the city. And that goes for John Angelos and Sashi Brown and everybody else that's ducking me lately. Governor Westmore is not ducking me. He's going to be here soon. He's been emailing me. We're trying to put a date together later on in the month. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all month long. Three in a row this week. Coco's on Wednesday. Gertrude's on Thursday. Friday at the Hollywood Casino in Perryville. Then next week, we're at State Fair in Catonsville. We're going to be at Far and Dotter and Curio Wellness on the 15th. We're also putting a show into Wise Markets up in Honeygo. I'm working on the date on that. And we're going to end the year, and Bill will appreciate this because deviled eggs will be involved. We're going to be at Fadley's to end the Fadley's run of 160 years at the world-famous Lexington Market. They're moving into the new market in January, so we'll do that later on in the month. It's December. It's coming in like a lion. The Ravens are 9-3. We're on bye week. We're doing tons of Crab Cake Tour conversations, talking to lots of friends, talking about the stadium situation in 1.2 $1 billion of your money. We are WNSD, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.